reading from. I'm going to be reading from Acts chapter 2, verse 17. And I thank God for how He's moved. It means so much to me when you see, you're confused, leaning on your own understanding, wondering how God's going to work everything out, and then it just opens up right before your very eyes. That's how He is. I praise God for that. I thank Him for the privilege I have to be here tonight. Don't have to worry about the phone. Don't have to worry about the pager. That's a little bit of a blessing in itself. But I praise God for the privilege. You know, Brother Keith talking about us being hindered and all the things that the devil has thrown against us, all the things that we're facing in our dark times. But that's the very time that God's going to prove Himself to us. And that's the title of my message tonight. Let God prove it. Let God prove that He can pour out His blessings upon us. I praise God for how He moves, you know. And I guess I'll go back and read just a couple scriptures here at the first of chapter 2, and I'll get to the meat of what I want to bring out. At the first of the chapter there in Acts chapter 2, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." You know, and I'll break it down just a little bit more. They were in that place. They was all in one mind and one accord. They all had their minds fixed upon God. There was nothing wavering. They had nothing else on their mind, but they were expecting something to happen. They were expecting something to happen. I came to church tonight expecting something to happen. I didn't know how much it was going to happen or what was going to happen, but when I seen those boys come in and that boy right there, Brother Cantrell, stood up and testified, that lit me on fire. I don't know about you. That just blesses my soul to see God answer prayer. I pray for that boy. I pray for all those boys, but I pray for God to use him. The very first night he came up here and we prayed for him, God showed me something right then. As sure as I'm standing here right now, hallelujah, God showed me what was going to happen. I praise God for that. Not that I'm anything, Brother Keith, but I know what I saw. It blesses my heart to see God use people in such ways, people that no one else would have anything for, and God will take him and he'll set him up and he'll use him. Oh, God, I praise the Lord tonight. I thank him for what he's done. I don't know if I can contain it tonight. Let God prove what He wants to prove here tonight. Let Him prove what He came here to do. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let Him prove Himself to us. It is our situation. We're in this situation. But let God prove Himself to us. Hallelujah. Verse 17 here. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Hallelujah. That lifts me up. You know, we're in the last days. We've fought all these things. We've been hindered. The devil cannot stop it. All we got to do now is let God prove it. It's His time. It's His time. It's our time to shine. Not as just this church, but as the church of God. And I don't mean that in a denomination. I mean as the church of the living God. It's time for us to stand up. Be known. He's told us many times here that He is going to set us up on a hill. We're going to shine. And for us to shine, it's going to have to be real dark around us. I thank God for that. I mean, it's not something that we really want to be in. But it's something we're going to have to go through to be able to shine to everyone else, to show them that if they will only call upon the name of the Lord. You know, Brother Cantrell, you keep spreading the word out there. You keep telling all of them, and all you boys, you tell them all, if they'll only look to God, if they'll only call upon God, if they'll only call out on His name, faith believing, and believing that Jesus died for their sins, He's going to save them. He says right here in His word. Hallelujah. He said, if you will call, I'm sorry, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It don't say, so, there's no restriction there. You know, the Jews used to put the restriction on there, but now there is no restriction. We were made Jew because of what happened in our hearts. The circumcision of our heart made us as the Jew. And I praise God for that opportunity. We'll go over here to Job. And I challenge him. I challenge a lot of the young people here to read Job chapters 32 through 37, I believe it is. Some good scriptures. You know, it really lifted me up. I know I started reading and I could just, it's like I could picture in my mind this fella speaking his heart, you know. And he wasn't one of the elders. He was not one of the elders. And that's what I want to bring to us young people tonight. You know, I'm not as young as I used to be, but I'm still a young person. Who would ever thought I'd be 30 years old or getting close to it? I just got a few more months. But I praise God how He's turned my life around. You know, this year at 27, I wouldn't give you a dime. Or even at 28, I wouldn't give you a dime for my life. I thank God for how He's turned it around. Like Brother Tommy said, I'd fought with those suicidal feelings. I'd fought with that. It's a demon. It is a demon. I fought with that so hard. There were certain times, I've told it before, you know, I took sleeping pills. I didn't want to wake up. I had no desire to face life. And the reason I had no desire to face life is because I cannot face life on my own. I cannot do it. I will be a failure if I lean to myself. But I praise God how He moves and how He does things for us, even when we're so undeserving. But when Jesus' blood is applied to our hearts, we're worthy. I praise God for that. I praise God for that. Job chapter 33 and verse 23. If there be a messenger with him, If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Whew. Hallelujah. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto God and will be favorable unto him. And he shall say, and he shall see his face with joy. For he will render unto man his righteousness. He looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. I praise God for that. Lo, all things worketh God oftentimes with man. And I looked up this oftentimes, and in the Hebrew that means twice or thrice. You know, that puts it kind of there where I was at. But I'll finish reading here. Verse 30 says, to bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. We do not have to stay where the devil wants us. When we decide to walk away from God and we're in that pit, or we're just going through such a time and we decide to give up, well, you know, it's hard to pray today. I'm not going to make myself. It just seems like I'm going nowhere. It seems like I'm getting nowhere. I remember what Brother Benny, I forget who was it, said, that Brother Benny oftentimes said I would have to take Benny by the hair of the head and make him go pray. That's our only way out. That's our only escape. That is our only escape that we have. We cannot lean to our own understanding. If we do, and we just decide to give in to it, we're going to sink right back down into the pit. And I'd say the next time you go, you're going to get just a little deeper. I know that's how it worked for me. You keep going deeper and deeper, and then you really do feel like there's no way out. God, you're going to have to help me. I've sunk down to this pit. I see no way out. The drugs have bound me up once again, even worse than what they did the first time. You know, the lust and all these things of this world has bound me up even more so than it did the first time. God, you got to deliver me. I'm reaching up for it. You've got to take my hand. Brother Tommy said it so much, and that's what kind of put two and two together for me. When Brother Tommy was in that pit, he knew that God was the only way out. I knew so many times I would be laying on my couch, just so out of my mind, just looking for nothing. And I would sober up just at that split second, and God would show me preaching to myself. You know, it's not any words that I had, but it was the Lord speaking to me. And I thank God for that. I was not worthy of that. He could have let me die. It was something I did to my own self. But through His mercy and through His love, He sought to bring me out. That just, I mean, that means so much to me. How can I go a day and not thank Him? How can I go a day and not praise Him for salvation that He gave me? And it wasn't something He had to give me, because I'd already taken it the first time. And I praise God that He decided, He let me be saved once again. I praise God for that. If we will, let's go over to chapter 34. I know I'm doing a lot of reading, but it's the only way it's going to tie together. I didn't know how it was going to tie together, and I do now, and there's going to be a lot of reading, and maybe when I get some preaching experience, I won't have to read this much, but really the Bible is what does the preaching anyway. I thank God for that. Chapter 34, verse 10. Therefore hearken unto me, ye men of understanding. Far be it from God that He should do wickedness, and from the Almighty, far be it from God that He should do wickedness, and from the Almighty that He should commit iniquity. For the work of a man shall He render unto him, and cause every man to find according to his ways. Yea, surely God will not do wickedly, neither will the Almighty pervert judgment. Who hath given Him a charge over the earth? Or who hath disposed the whole world? If He set His heart upon man, if He gather unto Himself His spirit and His breath, all flesh shall perish together, and man shall turn again unto dust. You know, I don't have much notes, but all I can tell you is what God showed me. If God did not desire for you to be here in this church tonight, all He would have had to done was not give you the very breath that you're breathing right at this moment. If God desired for you not to be here, for you not to see the holiness way, for you not to live holiness, He would have taken all He would have had to do was take the breath from you. I mean, but you know, who gave God the power to do what He did? No one. Who gave God the power to do anything that He does? It's His. We are His. We have got to realize that we are God's. We're not God's. I'm sorry, the devil will fight me with that one. We are God's property. I'll straighten that out there before the devil goes anywhere with it. But that's something that we have to realize in ourselves, that if we will only render to ourselves that which is God's, He will use us in such ways that we've never seen. He will use us in ways that we have never understood or ever imagined that God can use us in those ways. In the last days, He will pour out His Spirit upon us. And it is in the last days. Brother Cantrell, who would have thought that God would use you in the way He did tonight? Who would have thought it? But who can tie the hands of God? Who can tell God, no, God, you can't use him. He's not worthy of you. God, you can't use Marshall. You can't use Jake. You can't use these that have turned their back on you and just walked away from you. But we came back with our heads bowed down, humbly saying, God, if you only give me another chance, if you only let me serve you, I'll give you everything that I have. If you'll only let me serve you, I'll give you all that I have. I'll hold nothing from you. I give you myself. Here am I, God. You use me for my purpose that you have intended for me to do. I praise God. Hallelujah. I thank God for His mercy. I thank God that He's chosen to use us. I praise God when I see Brother Marshall get blessed. It blesses me just as much to see him get his blessing. It blesses my soul when I see Jamie come. She gives her heart to God. It blesses me. I've seen prayer answered. I know that God still hears us. I know He's going to let Himself, He's going to prove Himself to us if we will only let Him. Hallelujah. If we'll only let God, He will prove Himself to us. Why do we have to tie the hands of God at such a time as this? Why do we have to tie the hands of God? It's not our place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's not our place to tie the hands of God. I can't get away from it. It's not our place to tie the hands of God. Why do we have to come in the house of God and not worship? Why do we have to come to the house of God and not praise Him? It should be in our heart to praise Him. Why can't we put forth just a little bit of effort? God, help us, Jesus. Help us, God, I pray. God, why do we have to tie the hands of God? He's told us how many times, I will make you a people. You know, I wish Brother Dishman would have been here tonight, because that was the very same things that God dealt with me on. Why do we have to let God, or why do we have to tie the hands of God? He's told us how many times that He'll use us if we'll only mark up. What are we waiting on? It's the last days. What are we waiting on? Why can't we take that step? You know, and I know we have. I know I've seen just how, you know, like Dad has said different times, faith is building. The faith is building. That brother right there testifying tonight built my faith more than he'll ever know. It blessed my heart. But why do we have to tie the hands of God? He's told us different times that if we'll only bow ourselves to Him, if we'll only mark up, yes, we have to live stricter than most other people in the holiness faith. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. Because I know what it gives us. If we'll live the way God has told us, He'll use us in ways that no one else can touch. It's not that we as this people is anything special. But it is that we as this people that have decided to serve God with our whole hearts, with everything He's taught us to do, it is our right, it is our duty to do what He's told us, and He'll use us in ways that we cannot even imagine. Brother Craig Inman asking us to come up there. That's a privilege. It shouldn't swell our head. It should make us drop to our knees and say, God, give us some more anointing that when we go there that they'll want to strive just a little bit more. You know, that's our place. God has set us here for such a time as this. How can we get away from it? How can we turn our back on it? How can we sit on our seats? How can we just let it get away from us? Like Brother Dishman said, Flatwoods, how long do you think God's going to deal with you? How long do you think God's going to keep pulling at us and keep pulling at us if He don't see some movement? We've seen it. I will say that. I've seen us step up. I've seen us start praying. I've seen us start fasting. Look what's happening. You know, look what's happening. We got Jamie sitting back here on the seat. We've seen different ones saved. We've seen his brother testify. We got the Ramey homeboys back out here with us. That's a privilege. That is a privilege for us. I thank God for that privilege. It just inspires me so much when I can see them each time come to the house of God in their sincerity, thriving to be here, just with nothing else in their heart but to come and feel the power of God. And if they can't feel the power of God, it's to our shame. I'm saying this humbly as I can. I'm not trying to step outside of my bounds. But if they cannot feel the power of God, if the sinners cannot feel the power of God from me in my life, then it's to my shame. I'm going to have blood required at my hands. You know, I'm going to stand before God. He's going to say, well, you had this opportunity. I opened this door for you. Why did you not witness to this guy? Why did you not witness to this woman? It's going to be required at my hands. And I pray to God every day, Lord, open up the doors for me. I was telling John the other day, and I testified to this down at Brother Kurt's last night. John, a fellow I'd worked for, and I want to give God a praise offering. You know, I had prayed for God to send us some help out to the funeral home. I was just working so much, and I was wanting to preach. Yes, I was nervous, but I was wanting so much for God to send us help to where I could start preaching, and I could do more for God, and I could, you know, not have to worry about work when I come to church. And God answered my prayers. We got a fellow working out there, and he's a licensed person, and you know, I can just leave it all to him. And I thank God very much for that. That is a prayer answered. And that's a prayer that the church prayed for us, and I thank you for your prayers. But I praise God. We was leaving the funeral home down there the other day and going to get back into the car to come back to Flatwoods, and I'd been praying. I was like, God, you're going to have to give me the opportunity. You know, I don't want to seem fanatical or pushy with it, but I want to be in God's perfect will. I don't want to mess anything up and have to go back and fix it later. you know, or anything like that. But we was walking out, and he was turning off the lights, and there was little vents made in the ceiling, and it was sunlight coming through, and it was just shining through so bright, you know, and it was just shining through so bright, and he turned off all the lights in the place, and he was trying to look, he thought that was lights. And he kept trying to turn it off, and I said, John, buddy, and we joke with each other. I was like, you can't turn those lights off. That's the sun coming through there. You can't turn that off. And he said, I said, unless you have a lot of power with God. And he said, well, I don't have that kind of power, and I don't think you do. I said, well, I'm not going to tell you that I do have that kind of power, but let me tell you about a man named Joshua.
Yeah.
That, you know, when he was in such a dire need that he needed God to hold that sun where it was at or pull it back, God did just what he asked him.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, and I told him, I was like, John, if we will just, you know, I tried to just tell him, you know, you can have that kind of power if you desire it. Not for your own personal gain, but for the gain of the church. God will do so much, you know, God will do things that we can't even imagine. If we will only let God prove Himself to us, if we'll only step up and do the things God's asked us to do, if we'll take the opportunities when God presents them to us, let's take them. Let's tell people about you know, God's power. Let's tell Him about His salvation. Let's tell them what God can do. Let's don't be ashamed of what God's done in our church. Let's tell them. You know, bid them to come and see. And we better be on fire when we do. I praise God for that. And, you know, it just pray for him. I will just pray for him. You know, I'm waiting on God just to give me the opportunity. I walked in today with my Bible, and he don't realize what he asked for, and it didn't work out. But I walked in with my Bible, and I try to walk in with it every day at work. And he said, you going to teach me today? I said, if you're willing to learn, buddy, I'll break the bread of life here for you. You know, and I don't know if he could have hacked much of this, but, you know, and I thank God for it. You know, I praise God, and I want the opportunity. Thinking about Papaw Green, I've talked about him so much, and it breaks my heart to see him, Lord, just in the last times, you know, and I don't want it to be my fault that he hasn't turned himself and give himself completely unto God. I'm not trying to judge or anything like that. But I want him to experience what I've experienced. I want him to experience the power of God that there is available unto us. If when we get ourselves to the situation where God can use us, that means so much to me. If we could, let's turn over here to Amos chapter 8. You know, there's going to come a time where we won't, you know, hope, and I really believe that we'll be called out. Over in Joel, it talks about the Holy Ghost coming down on us in the scriptures that I read earlier from Acts chapter 2 and 17. If you go back one verse in verse 16, it says, as was, you know, talked about in the book of Joel, or by the prophet Joel, or something like that. I'll get back to it here in just a minute. I don't mean to misquote. But over in Amos chapter 8, verse 11, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. They that swear by the sin of Samaria and say, thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise up again. You know, it's a very serious thing. If we don't get ourselves on fire where we need to be, we're going to be right here. We're going to be searching. We're going to be saying, God, deal with me one more time. Deal with me about these things that you've, the standards that you've set for us. God, I must live by those. Please deal with me again on it. You know, we're going to keep rejecting it. We're going to keep rejecting it. And then we're going to turn around and we're going to be wondering where it's at. We're going to be wondering where the Spirit of God is to deal with us. There's going to be a thirst and a famine, not of bread or water or anything like that, but it's going to be a famine of the Word of God. And it says here, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And, you know, if we're already called up by that time and you can't hear Him, how do you think you're going to feel Him? How do you think you're going to feel the power of God dealing with you on these things if, you know, if God's already called the church up? I want to go with Him. I want to go when He comes. I don't want to have to go through these things. I don't want to have to go one day without the power of God. There's times that He builds our faith. We pray and pray, and you feel like you're getting nowhere, but I guarantee you, you're getting somewhere if you're praying. I guarantee you are getting somewhere if you're praying, if you're just right to reading the Word of God every day. Make it part of your day. Make it part of your day. You might not feel like you're getting anywhere. You might not feel like you're getting anything accomplished. I promise you, if you're reading the Word of God and you're praying from your heart, you're getting somewhere. I believe it with my whole heart. I've experienced it here. It's been a couple weeks back, you know, a month or so. I was praying every day. And I'll say this, and I don't really have much shame in it. I was praying every day and feel like I just wasn't getting anywhere. But let me tell you about the day that I did pray and God came in the room. That makes it worth the whole... I mean, it's just... There's nothing better than God coming right in and settling down with you and you feeling His power and His Spirit in the room with you. That makes it all worthwhile. I thank God for that. You know, and it's... Why do we have to tie the hands of God? Why do we have to tie... God, I know I haven't been doing this right. I haven't been doing this right. God, I'm trying. You know, where are you at? Where are you at? He's there. I promise you, He's there. He is there. If you only let Him prove Himself. You keep doing what He's told you to do. You keep doing what you know to do. God will come by. He will rain down upon us like we've never been rained down before in the time. I mean, it is the last day. He's going to pour out His Spirit upon us like we've never experienced. Micah verse 7 and 7. I'm just going to turn over there because there's some more to that. And I praise God. Hallelujah. Micah 7 and 7. Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, when I fall. I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. You might feel like you're getting nowhere. You might feel like God has just turned His back on you. He will come by. He says it right here. God is not a liar. He'll tell you, God, I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere. God, I feel like, you know, everything in my life's going wrong. Lord, where are you at? Call on Him. Just keep calling. He will come by. My God of my salvation will hear. He will come by. He will raise me up when I fall. He will be the light in my darkness. When I feel like I'm getting nowhere, He'll be the light. I'll know where to take my next step. If I keep following the light of the Lord, He'll show me where to take each step. I thank God for that. Who am I to tie the hands of God? I can't get away from it. How can I tie the hands of God? He's already told us, I will raise you up. I will be your light in the time of darkness. Darkness is upon us. The storm is upon us. He will be the light.
He will.
He will be the light. He told us He would set us up on the hill and we will shine forth like a bright light. He is the light. He is the one that's going to be shining through us. You know, we need to get ourselves. We need to fast and pray. We've been fasting all this week for Tara. You know, we've been doing that. And I think God's dealing with her. I know God's dealing with her. You know, and I told God, I was like, God, if You will, just please trouble her heart. Just trouble her heart. I don't want her to get any rest. I don't want her to have any enjoyment in anything she's trying to do. God, You block it. Because that's one less temptation she'll have to deal with later on in her life if God will block all these things. I'm just waiting for God to move on it. That's all we can do. All we can do is give it to God. If we step in the way, all we're going to do is hinder. That's all we're going to do. But if we get out of the way and let God move, and let God prove Himself to us, He's going to start moving around here in ways that we don't even know. There's going to be Jamie. She came. She prayed. Marshall came and prayed. I came and prayed. There's different ones. Backsliders came and prayed. There's Rob Williams across the street. There's all these. There's Papaw up here that needs to get down here and get himself fixed with God. I praise God for that. He's got to do it or He's not going to make it. I know God's going to answer prayers. There's Stephanie. There's Steve. There's all these sinners. There's all these backsliders that God's going to move. Terry Scott Yates. all these, you know, it's our duty to pray for them. Why do we have to tie the hands of God? God, you're not moving quick enough for us. God, they're not coming in by the groves and just lining up the altar. Let's keep praying. I think God's going to line our altars. You know, wouldn't it be great for us to have to bust out the wall and just build a larger church because all the backsliders have decided, God, I'm going to be yours. God, here am I. Use me in the way that you see fit. God, here am I. Take me and make me something worthy of your use. Sanctify me wholly, Lord. You know, that means so much to me. I can't wait to see it. We are going to see it. Are we going to see it? You know, who are we to tie the hands of God? We know He's told us different times, you will recover all. That kind of sums it all up right there. Either we can take Him at His word, or He's a liar. You know, God is no liar. We're going to see it. I'm waiting to see it. A lady at work today, she told me, she's like, I'm having trouble with, you know, my granddaughter. I mean, just to show you it is the last times, and I'm going to read something over here in Romans. But just to show you it is the last times, this girl's 12, I think, or 13 years old. And there was a young man, about 19 years old. Told her, he's like, you know, you can meet me after school. I'm going to teach you some things. And she told me, she said, I mean, she was troubled. And she's like, I know you have faith. And it's not anything in me, Brother Jeff. It's not. I'm not saying that one bit. But I do believe that God is a God of His Word. And if we ask Him, you know, that lady might not live the way that I think she should. She might not do that. But I got a picture of myself as if that were Carissa. Or if that was one of the granddaughters or something like that of my parents. I want to get a hold of God for her. You know, it is the last times. In Romans, in chapter 1, verse 24 through 28. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie? And worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet, of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. We better be careful if we decide, God, I just don't want to pray today. It's getting too hard. You keep pushing God off. You keep pushing Him off. God, I just don't feel like I'm getting anywhere. You know, and you start pushing Him off, He's going to turn you over. You know, and you know, when the things of church get in your mind and you just are disgusted by it, you better hit your knees. When you cannot even think about God without feeling convicted, you might want to hit your knees because there's a reason you're feeling that way. There's a void in your life. Like Brother Tommy said, don't go back to the pit. Don't go back to the muck and the mire of the world. There's going to be a void in your life that cannot be filled with nothing else but the Spirit of God. There's nothing going to fill that void. There's nothing going to take the place of salvation. There's nothing going to take the place of my God. There's nothing that can match Him. I mean, I've been out in the world. I've experienced just about all that there is, except for, you know, there's quite a few I didn't, but, you know, everything that they say is supposed to be so great, there's nothing to match it. And, you know, I'm not saying that in any way to build myself up or whatever. You know, the devil can fight me with that later if he wants. But there's nothing in the world that will compare to the power of God being in your life. There's nothing in the world that will compare to when I get on my knees and there's nobody else I can go to and I call out upon the Savior and He comes down and gives me an answer. There's nothing else to compare to that, Brother Willis. There's no beer, there's no marijuana, there's nothing like that that can compare to my Savior. When He comes in, I know I don't have to worry about that problem anymore. You know, when I was out in the world, I could get high, get drunk, whatever. But when I came back to, I still had that problem to deal with. Now, I can come, I can lay my problems on the altar. I don't have to worry about them anymore unless I choose to pick them up. That's not my desire to pick them back up. I know God can take care of my problems. He can take care of me if we'll only just give ourselves over to Him completely and let God prove it. Let God prove Himself to us. You know, I'm not trying to get us down. I'm trying to build us up. God can prove Himself to us. We can have a revival around here. Brother Jeff's talked about it here lately. Brother Keith, I thought we was about to go and break out into revival tonight. But let God prove Himself to us. You know, we come here. God, we're waiting. Yeah, we've been through the storm. But after the storm is sunshine. After the storm, there's times of growth. After all the stormy waters have came by, if we let it, that will water what has been planted down in our souls and will spring forth with new life. You know, there's no telling what God can do with us. If we'll only hold on, we must hold on. We know that God will raise us up. We know that God will use us. I thank God for it. I've delivered my soul to you. I don't know anything else to say, and I'm not going to go beyond the Spirit of God. But just, if you will, just take that to heart. Let God prove Himself to us. When you feel like you've done everything, let God have it. Let God have it. Let Him prove Himself to you. We know that He can move in those ways. We know that He can move into things that we seem like there is no way. God, how is Tara going to come back to church? She's went out. The days go on by. Lord, there's no way she's going to come back. You know, she's experiencing this. She's experiencing that. Young ladies, there is. I'm going to leave that alone. She's experiencing these things, but I don't believe she's having any entertainment, if you will, out of it. I think, you know, I forget where. Well, I think it was Brother Jerry preached one time on the wall of thorns. You know, I really think she's fighting against everything that has been placed in her heart. Brother Randy, everything you've put there is there for a reason. That's going to prick against her right now as she tries to go out and do with these things. Sister Marcia, you've done the right thing. All we have to do now is leave it on the altar, and God's going to move. We know. We know that God will move if we'll only leave it in His hands. There's nothing else we can do. There's nothing else we can do except for pray and fast. And if we keep fasting and we keep praying, we might not see anything right off the bat take place. But we just take to heart that something is happening. It's happening right down in her soul. From the very first time, Brother Randy, you fasted, God saw it. And then we all bound together, got in one mind and one accord. How can we tie the hands of God and say that He's not going to move? Let's just step back now and let God prove Himself to us. Let's just step back now and say, God, we've prayed. We've done everything we can do, God. What else can I do? I'm going to wait on You. I'm going to stand. You know, I think about what Brother John told me one time about Ephesians chapter 6. I told him, I was like, Brother John, you know, we go through all these things in our life, and then it comes to this point where all we can do is stand. He's like, I don't think you understand that completely. When you come to that point in your life where you feel like you can do nothing else, take a stand. You know, take a stand and stand up and say, you know, devil, you're not going to go any farther with Tara Cordell than what God allows you. There's nothing else you can do to her except for what God allows you to do. You know, God said He is married to the backslider. You know, and it troubles my heart. Yes, it troubles my heart to think what might take place or anything like that. But I do know that God is a just God. And God will, He's married to her. He's only going to let so much happen to her. But if I could just leave that with you now, if they will come and get a song. But I thank God for how He uses us and how He will use us if we only step forward, you know. I want us to get back to that place when they would call the young people from Flatwoods to come and we could get up and sing, not to take the place of preaching. I'm not saying that, but that when we could come and sing and we could, you know, the Spirit of God was with us. But the reason the Spirit of God was with us is because we paid the price. You know, we lived the standard that God set for us to live. We fasted, we prayed, we did everything we knew to do. That's when God will take over. God will prove Himself to us. You know, it's not that we're anything, and I know that. But God has set us apart to be His whole, you know, we're holiness. And we should be proud of the fact that is our heritage. You know, we might live a little stricter than some other churches. So be it. We see the benefits of it. You know, that's just, it's required of us. We have been taught. God has showed us. You know, if we walk back on it, we're not going to make it. We've been taught too good. And I thank God for my heritage. I thank God for what He's showed me. You know, we could look at it as a burden if we wanted to. You could. I choose not to. I call it being sanctified. You know, we could look at it as a burden if we wanted to. I choose not to. I know that if I set myself apart from the world, when I go to my room of prayer, God's going to meet me there. I'm going to have power with God. You know, that's my desire. I want the spiritual gifts. You know, I want to be able... I've got to pay the price to get them. I'm not perfect. I'm in the flesh. But that's my desire. Help me to fast more. God, give me a desire to read Your Word more. My desire is to see the spiritual gifts working in the church like they should be. I praise God for that. If we could, let's just remember that God said in the last days He's going to pour out His Spirit upon all mankind. I thank God for that. All we have to do now is step back and let God do His work in our lives and in our hearts. If we would, let's just all come and pray.